Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encourages his followers to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, doing good works and keeping God's commandments. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Children may come forward for the children's sermon.
Got room for me? Thank you. Good morning. Anybody want to have a little fun? You do, don't you? Anybody else? Okay. Just watch her light shine. Anybody ever had a puppy? Okay, cool. Glad you're here. Did your puppy ever... on a dark, rainy night, cry out, didn't know what was wrong. Didn't do that, huh? I got to start over. Well, if that puppy did cry a little bit, you'd want to see that puppy and see what you could do, how you could help that puppy. You know, it might have grass burn in its toe and couldn't walk good. Or it might be a skunk chasing or something, but... But if it's dark, how could you help it? How about a light? That'd work, wouldn't it? It would sure help you see your puppy. What about, you ever have a bad tummy ache at night when it's dark? I'm so glad you're here. You needed some help. You need your mother, but how are you going to find mommy with no light? You just got to say, Mom, get in here and cut the light on. You got to help me. Jesus is the light of the world. Do you know that? Light is good. Some people live in darkness all their life, because they don't know Jesus. Jesus wants you to shine through you. You can shine. You know how you can shine? You know, if you see one of your friends that you're playing with, a lot of your friends, and you see somebody sitting over there all by themselves, they're kind of timid and wanted to play with you, but they didn't know if they were kind of shy. Well, what you can do is you can come over and say, hey, come over here and play with us and be a part of us. This is what Jesus wants you to do. Smiling is shining your light. Anybody ever, have you ever watched a baby be baptized up here? Okay, cool. We're in two now. We're just moving along real good here. They you know, they say... let your light so shine to others to see your good works and glorify Father in heaven. So that's what Jesus wants done. And so if you can shine through Jesus, that's what Jesus wants. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the light of the world. Help us to let his light shine through us so that others will put their faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, now this wouldn't be a lot of fun unless you got something, would it? Isn't that why? Did anybody come here because they wanted to take something back? Yeah, okay, cool. Let me show you something here. This little thing here, when you press this button, that didn't work. I'll keep that one. You didn't want that, did you? I don't blame you. Okay, see there? That's a light. You do? All right. Well, this will be just probably just like the one at your school. And I think I have one for each one of you. And when you take this home, and whenever you press this little button here, the light comes on, and you can think of Jesus. So that's everybody. Here's one for you. And come here. You got younger legs than I do. Here you go. And pass this down to everybody down there.
Well, thank you, Man Roy, for the children's sermon. So what we heard from Man Roy today and what we hear in baptism is let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we hear this, that each time that a family receives a baptismal candle, and it's a powerful way to begin the Christian journey through life. This verse is in our gospel reading for today, which proclaims that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In Jesus' ancient Mediterranean culture, salt was expensive. It was such a prized commodity that sitting above the salt at a banquet table defined a place of honor. Salt was used to start oven fires. Patties were made out of animal dung and salted so they would burn in the clay ovens. Salt was also used as a preservative, an element in sacrifice and sacrament, and a sealer of covenants. It was as important as light for Christ's culture, which had no lit buildings or street lamps at night. When it was night, the sky was black, and people without lamps groped at the walls as they tried to find their way. Salt and light were as important to Jesus' culture as clean water and electricity are to ours. Take note that none of these things are important for themselves. They are valuable because they serve others. In the same way, we are valuable as children of God because we are made to serve others by showing them the love of Christ. We shine with the light of the word that is close to our hearts, and we add the zest of Christ's love to this troubled world. And to think that Jesus says we already are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. These are not things, he says, that we will be or that we have to work on, but that we already are in his eyes. The passage from Isaiah today is one that Lutherans should pay close attention to. Isaiah is telling those around him what God says about true faith. God is frustrated because the people pay attention to the little details of the law. But they do not understand its greater purpose, and they are not really following it. God is disappointed that the people use their fast day to wear sackcloth and ashes and bow before him. God does not want them to use that day to humble or humiliate themselves. He wants them to go out and perform good works for their neighbor. If we think about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, it does not make much sense to cover that light in sackcloth and ashes. Martin Luther spent a lot of his time burdened by his own loneliness, by the fear of original sin, and his initial belief that he had to continually confess and repent for each individual mistake that he made to avoid the wrath of God. Once he even called himself a worm because of his overly profound awareness that he was a sinful creature. And it is believed that his anxiety around that issue led to his stomach disease. But what he finally figured out is that our belief in Christ, through whom God gives us grace, is the only thing that restores us to relationship with God. We are not to spend our lives filled with guilt and shame and woe, which only serve to hide away the spiritual gifts that God has blessed us with. No, instead, we are to go out into the world and let our light shine for others so they can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. As we near the time of Lent, these are important scriptures that we must pay attention to. I have always disliked when people give things up for Lent. Usually they give up something like chocolate or soda and then twist their faces every time you consume their favorite food in front of them to show how much suffering they are going through. Isaiah gives a strong warning against this kind of behavior. And if we look ahead to Matthew 6, we will see that they have already earned their reward. I remember what fasting was like for me. I went to an international school with some Muslims who were celebrating Ramadan, their fasting holiday. I remember how dignified they seemed to me in their faith as they explained to others in the class how they had to fast every day during the month-long Ramadan, only able to eat a meal each night once the sun had set. They would not drink water and would refuse any offers of gum or mints that they received. I thought perhaps I could honor Christ with some fasting of my own and attempted a one-day fast. At the end of the evening, my mother came home from dinner with a friend and brought me a slice of pie to celebrate the end of my fast. I immediately ate the pie, and only afterward, as I prayed, did I wonder about the purpose my fast or any fast had served. So I ask, what good did it do for God and his mission that I waited until the end of the night to eat some pie and spent the day feeling hungry? How much good does it do for anyone to fast in an attempt to develop their relationship with God? No hungry people are fed, no oppressed people are set free, and no homeless poor are invited into the house. My fast did not make God happy, as it was fruitless according to God's mission, and I would question any other fast in accordance with those biblical standards that we find in both Isaiah 58 and Matthew 6. Fortunately, God points us in a new and more fruitful direction in which we can truly serve him through that loving service to our neighbors. God promises that if we reach out in compassionate service to our neighbors, he will always be there for us. He will guide us, protect us, and keep us strong. He will make us a spring whose waters never fail. We will never be parched. Instead, we will continue to be fruitful. Our light shall rise in the darkness, and our gloom shall be like the noonday. Because one of the beautiful things about serving God through serving others is that we are also giving to ourselves. The promises of God say that we are giving to ourselves, and in our own lives, we can also see that fulfillment can only come through life centered in Christ. It is clear that as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we have a divine message to share, a divine mission to spread. So how do we go about spreading this message? Do we use our own wisdom to argue for the gospel message and hope that we will bring another to faith through a religious debate? Or do we let the Spirit guide us and come humbly and meekly to God to let him lead us in the way that we should go? Paul guides us with his answer in 1 Corinthians. Instead of using his own knowledge when he comes to speak in Corinth, Paul instead chooses to let the Spirit show forth God's power instead of his own. For the saltiness of our salt and the brightness of our light must be attributed to God alone, who is responsible for our creation. It is necessary that God's wisdom must be shown instead of Paul's wisdom or any of ours, for God has a different type of wisdom that is nonsensical to this world. That is why it is so important for us to share that holy wisdom with others, for it shines outwardly from the hearts of believers who have been given special spiritual gifts through which to do God's mission. Those who do not believe do not have these spiritual gifts. They do not have that same bright light shining outwardly from their hearts, and so only we can begin to salt their lives with the saltiness of Christ. This is not through worldly wisdom, which would guide us to reject and diminutize them as many non-believers do to the faithful, but instead we use that wisdom of the Spirit to determine the appropriate use of our spiritual gifts in our loving actions toward them. In this, we cannot be judged nor understood by those without faith, for our faith and knowledge of the Word give us the ability to work together for the outpouring of the faith upon the neighbor. Being the salt of the earth and the light of the world is a difficult task. But at our baptisms, we were determined to be vessels of Christ's gospel message, lighting up the world with the Holy Spirit. Remember your value in that Christ paid for you with his own life blood, and remember the purpose that he has given you to extend the knowledge of his love, which you have already been blessed to receive. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.